Morning, church.
Morning.
I'm Pastor Mike. You know, about 4 years ago, right before we came on staff here at First Alliance, I served 13 years at Dover Alliance Church in Dover, Ohio. And Dover was a wonderful community. It was a wonderful place to raise our family. There was one high school, one Walmart. Pretty much everywhere you went, you ran into somebody you knew, which was just kind of cool. The church supported our family in many ways, such as helping us bring Kobe home. Our ministry with students was fruitful. We loved these students. We poured our hearts and our lives into these students. We had dear friends there that we loved and still do love, and our friends and our kids had great friends there as well. For us as a family, it was a good place to be. It was comfortable. We were happy and we were blessed to be there. And then COVID happened. And as COVID was occurring, both Sarah and I recognized that God was calling us out of Dover. He was calling us out of a very good and comfortable place, which my first reaction was, no, thank you, Lord, we're good. But over and over, God was just reaffirming this call. So after some wrestling, we finally surrendered to God and said yes. And then we began to step out into the unknown and see what God had next for Sarah and I and our family. And let's be honest, the call of God and his timing is mysterious. And it's hard. It's difficult to wade through. Having to leave a good season of life and enter an unknown season of life is hard. And in the same sense, having to wait for a hard season of life and a new season to begin is also really hard. What happens if the next season is more difficult, if it's harder, if it's more heartbreaking? You guys know what I'm talking about? Let me give you just a few more examples. Maybe you've waited a really long time to meet that special someone. Maybe you have waited a long time to have kids, and it hasn't happened yet. Maybe you've been through the heartbreak of losing a child, a divorce. Maybe right now you are walking through cancer, and you're just waiting on your healing. At times, we are all going to walk through the unknown. We will all have seasons of life where we are in between this and that, in between what God has done and what God will do. It's like you're in a house, or in this picture, it's a hotel, and you've left one room and you're in the hallway, but you just haven't entered that next room yet. That's the in between. And we're not the only people who have experienced the in-between. The nation of Israel, they knew the hardship of waiting, and they knew the hardship of life in the in-between. Shortly after the death of Joseph, at the very beginning, at the end of the book of Genesis, you see that God's chosen people, man, they are thriving. They are growing. They are fruitful in all aspects of life. They're in a good place. And then the book of Exodus starts. And Joseph and all his brothers and that entire generation, they are gone and died off. And now a new king of Egypt sits on the throne. And that new king of Egypt, when he looks out on God's chosen people, the Israelites, he sees a potential problem. And so we quickly learn at the beginning of the book of Exodus that the Israelites are enslaved now. They're enslaved in Egypt. And then in a very quick recap, Moses and Aaron, they talk to Pharaoh about letting the people go, right? Then you have the plagues occur in Egypt. And finally, God's people are released only to be chased down again. And then in a huge display of God's power and God's presence, the Lord separates and parts the Red Sea so the Israelites could cross through on dry land. And then the Lord releases the waters, and they come crashing down and crushing and destroying and killing the entire Egyptian army. So three days after that event, that's where we're going to pick up our story. So the Israelites, they are led by Moses into the desert of Shur. So you can go ahead and open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15 if you have them. Exodus chapter 15. It's also going to be on the screen behind me, so whichever you prefer. But we're going to start reading in verse 22. So Exodus 15, starting in verse 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. And they traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. And so they called that place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. "What are we going to drink?" they demanded. So the people, they travel for 3 days and they don't find any water. And then finally came to an area where they found water, but this water is bitter and they're unable to drink it. So they called this place Marah, which means bitter. Now hopefully in the back of your minds right now, you guys are thinking, huh, bitter, Marah, why does that sound familiar a little bit? Right, if you remember from our book series that we did on the book of Ruth, right, when Naomi returns to her homeland and everyone's like, hey, isn't that Naomi? Isn't that her? She responds and says, hey, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Marah, because the Lord Almighty has made my life very bitter. And you can see that in Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. Naomi felt that God had crushed her, leaving her unusable, bitter, ruined. And just as Naomi felt bitter, so was the water here for the Israelites. They're unable to drink it. And so they did what you and I would probably do, right? They complained. They yell at the leadership. But what they're ultimately complaining against was a lack of provision from the Lord. They forgot everything that occurred 3 days ago. It's like they forgot what happened at the parting of the Red Sea and all of that. Well, you know, they didn't really forget it, right? But it's like in the midst of their present need, in their present struggle, it's like what God did 3 days ago, well, it just didn't mean anything to them. They forgot about it. So the Lord, and this is what the entire 40 years of wandering in the wilderness is all about. God is teaching them to trust him. To trust him. You see, God alone, I'm going to be your provider. I'm going to be your protection. I'm going to be the one who's going to fight your battles. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to sustain you. God was going to be their savior. Look at verse 25 now. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and it made the water good to drink. It was here at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Moses is shown a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water. And this act of obedience, it purified the water. It made it drinkable. You see, the Lord had did it again for them. And understand that there is nothing particularly special about this piece of wood. It was just, you know, God simply chose it as his instrument to provide for his people. On this day, God proved to the nation of Israel that he would be their great physician, that he would be their healer. And then the Lord gave them a promise. He said, you know what? If you guys will walk in obedience and do what is right in the Lord's eyes, not their own, then he promises he's not going to bring any of the diseases and signs and the plagues that he had afflicted on the Egyptians. This pledge is very similar to the pledge found in 2 Chronicles 7:15, that at the dedication of the temple, God tells the people, hey, if you will seek the Lord, if you will turn away from all your wickedness, then I'm going to heal your land. You see, the people of Israel had to trust. God was teaching them that they could trust him. Verse 27 now. says, after leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water. So there's really no mention of them leaving Marah, only of their arrival in Elim. And Elim is about a one-day journey away from Marah. We learn that if Marah is the place of bitterness, then Elim is the place of fruitfulness. It's the place of fulfillment. We learn at Elim that there is this abundance of water and shade and shelter. 12 springs, 70 palm trees. God's providence, it was already in evidence to the people. There was no miracle needed to satisfy the people. The people, they could see it with their own eyes and they could taste it with their own mouths. They could enjoy the shade and comfort. Truly at Elim, God proved himself faithful and trustworthy. Here's a little video that I want us to watch. This is by Andrew Jones from DiscoveredSinai.com, and he gave us permission to watch this video. So I want you guys to pay attention. Here's what Elim looks like, and pay attention to the features that you see in this video. Isn't that pretty cool? In the midst of the wilderness of this vast kind of wasteland, you know, they came to this little oasis. And the people made camp there, and they rested, and they were refreshed. Their animals were provided for. Life was good here in Elim. They were safe. They were comfortable. Church family, Elim would be the equivalent of you and I being in a really good season of life, a really good spot, a season of plenty, of comfort, success. Things are just clicking. Things are easy. We all love being in the Elim seasons of life. But as the nation of Israel had to learn, God was leading them somewhere else. God had plans to take them to a new place, a different place. And the people of Israel had to trust. As they had to trust God in Marah, they had to trust God in Elim, and now they have to trust God as they are leaving Elim and moving into a new place, a place that God has for them next. They had to trust God in the in-between. Look at Exodus 16, verse 1 now. It says, then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. The people of Israel, they did not get to stay in Elim. The presence of God, a cloud by day, fire by night, it was leading them away from Elim. It was leading them somewhere else. And what was up ahead? They didn't know. They just had to trust God and put one foot in front of the other. And lucky for us, like, we have the written word of God, right? So we know exactly what God is up to and what he's doing next. And what was up ahead for them? Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is what's up ahead. And at Mount Sinai, the people are going to encounter God and experience God in just powerful, visible ways. God himself is going to descend on Mount Sinai with a physical display of like fire and smoke and thunder and lightning and earthquake. And if the people even got too close to this mountain, God would strike them down dead. God's undeniable power and presence is going to be on full display for all of the Israelites to see and experience. This is too good. I just want to read a little bit about this. This is chapter 19, verse 16. It says, on the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down upon the mountain. And there was a loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Moses led them out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. And the smoke billowed into the sky like the smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. The Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. So not only did the Israelites get to see and experience the power of God in like crazy ways at Mount Sinai, what else were they given there? Ten Commandments. Right? The law of God was given to them to govern their lives in holiness, to be their guide as they walked in obedience, to do what is right in God's eyes, not their own. The Ten Commandments, it's also going to serve as a constant reminder of the covenant that is between God and his people. Mount Sinai is really, really important, and it's a huge part of the history of Israel. That's what's up ahead. That's in 18 days from now. That's what they would experience at Mount Sinai. But the people of Israel, they didn't know that. They didn't know what was up ahead. They had no clue. So they could have fought. They could have dug their heels in. They could have complained. They could have refused to leave Elam. After all, Elam, man, it was good. It was good. It was comfortable. Church family, it's hard to leave a really comfortable place, isn't it? It's hard to leave comfort. It's hard to leave a season of life that is not great, that is great and easy, especially if you have no clue what's up ahead. The unknown is hard. The in-between is hard. It is really hard. And that's exactly where God's chosen people found themselves. Right now, they are somewhere in between Elam and Mount Sinai. They're in the wilderness, a dry, barren territory. You kind of saw it in the video, right? And day after day, they would just have the dull and tedious task to put one foot in front of the other under the hot sun in this vast land. But here's the point, and here's the key. But if they wanted what God had for them next, if they wanted to experience and encounter God and all that he had for them next, then they had to be faithful to walk through the difficult wilderness, the difficult in between. And that same thing is true for you and I. Church family, we need to understand that at some point we are going to spend time in this life in the in-between, much like kind of where we are as a church right now, right? And this time, it's not a waste. It is necessary. What God is doing is preparing you and I for what's next. Priscilla Shearer said in her book, Awaken, That the time we spend in the in-between, they are a bridge between what he has done for you and what he's preparing to do in your future. So just how Israel had to learn to trust God in the wilderness, so do we. So do we. In the in-between, God is still moving. He's still working. He still has plans. He still knows exactly what he is doing. We just have to lean in, and we have to trust. So if you find yourself in the in-between, in a season of unknown, a season of not yet, then I just want to offer you a few thoughts and action steps. Number one, God is with you. You may think you are alone, but you are not. When God's people were in the wilderness, God was there, right? Every single step of the way. A visible cloud by day, fire by night. He was leading them. He was guiding them. And if they wanted to be in the presence of God, all they had to do was just follow. Follow the cloud. Follow the fire. God is faithful, and God is true, and that has not changed. God is with you. Whatever you are facing, your wilderness, your in-between, God is with you. He is with you. Second thing, remind your mind. Remind your mind. Instead of focusing on the difficulties and the hardships of the in-between, of the unknown, then you got to focus your mind on who God is and what God has already done in your life. Like we have, guys, the greatest gift in the world, to know God. To know of God's character, to know of what God has done, what God is going to do, what God wants from us, his will, his plan, right? All of that. If you want to know the future, it's all right here. It's all right here in the Bible. All of who God is not lost to us. If you want to know him, then all you got to do is read. And nowadays, you don't even have to read. You can listen to it. But you cannot remind your mind of something that you don't know. That's why here at First Alliance, that's why the Bible and the Word of God is of the utmost importance. That's why it's one of our core values, to know the Bible, to know God. Because it is, the Bible is where we know God. It's where we know his will and his plans. Right? It is our light, it is our guide, it is our pathway as we walk in obedience in this life to be more like Jesus. So yes, you will go through the in-between and seasons of unknown, but rest assured that God has a plan in the midst of it all. He may be stripping some things away from your life, but he's got a plan and a purpose to make you more like him. So trust in him. He is with you. He is faithful. Remind your mind of that, of what he has done, and remind your mind of what he has promised he is going to do. Third thing, if you find yourself in the in-between, the unknown, know that community matters. Community matters. Just imagine for a second being in the in-between, being in a season of life that is really hard and you're struggling. You're feeling stuck and you go to someone in your community, your circle of influence, and you're met with encouragement. And you're met with words of life. And you're met with words that speak of God's faithfulness and of God's promises, of his presence, of his hope. That makes a difference, doesn't it? The people you let into your life, it makes a difference and it matters, right? Because people are, they're going to build you up, they're going to tear you down. Church family, I cannot stress the importance for all of us to be doing life together in a life group. We all need other people. And the fourth and final thing to do when you find yourself in the in-between is go forward, not backwards. There will be times when you are tempted to look back at your Elam, where things were comfortable, where things were going so nice and easy, when everything was working out in your favor, and at times you're going to wish that you were back there. A.W. Tozer said, God is the God of today and tomorrow as well as yesterday. However, to most Christians, God is the God of yesterday alone. They believe in everything that was, but cannot rise to believe for today, yet alone tomorrow. Here's the truth for the nation of Israel, and we need to learn from them. That God was leaving Elam, right? His presence was moving on. Staying in Elam meant being away and out of God's will and presence. So, church family, say yes to Jesus. Go where God is leading and trust and have faith and just have hopeful expectations and eagerness just to see what God is going to do next. God is good and he is faithful and he has proven himself over and over and over and over and over and over. We could keep doing this and over and over and over and over again. I'm going to invite the praise team to come on up. But church family, during those times of uncertainty, of the in-between, the unknown, you can be hopeful because God has promised to be with us. And he has given us tools to know him, to know what he has done and what he will do. And we have each other to lean on, to encourage. And most importantly, God is the God of yesterday, and he is the God of tomorrow. And he is the God of today. No matter where you find yourself, God is the God there. So trust him. Lean into him.